Okay, I'm just so delighted to be sharing today, and I am more delighted because I look forward to hearing it as well, because I'm going to share my testimony, how I came to faith and my walk, but somehow the things I'd wanted to say and jam-pack everything in there have been cut out, and it's just some of the things, some of the highlights along the way that have ended up on my final preparation. So I look forward to bringing it together, and I pray that it's really going to speak to people in the way God wants it to. I'm just saying that for maybe expectation, because maybe you're thinking, oh, we'll hear all of Sarah's life story. But I just know that what you'll hear, by God's grace, will be sufficient and satisfying. Okay, so there we go. So just to set the scene also, I'll talk very briefly about how I came to faith. Then I'll talk also briefly about how I've walked in faith in between that time and pretty much now, leading up to how I came to the point of wanting to be baptized. And then it's really just this morning that I saw how those three things link up together. So that's hopefully what's going to come out. I kind of need this, but I like to be in the front there, so I might be back and forth, so bear with me. First thing I'll say is, where do I start? From the beginning of the journey, 1989. So in December 1989, I gave my life to Jesus. And in that moment, something happened. I didn't understand much. I don't want to say how old I was in case, you know, some of you start working out. But I just knew that something had happened in that moment. So how it happened is that in our local church in Kenya, been attending that church for pretty much since I was a kid. And on that particular morning, an altar call was made for those who want to give their lives to Christ. And I shot up to the front. I didn't think twice about it. And the prayer was made and we made the confession. And in that moment, as soon as I finished, I just felt purposeful. That is the word that I could use. It's like, you know, when you're doing a jigsaw puzzle and you finally put the last piece in, that is how I felt. Yeah. Even without all the spirituality, without knowing the Bible, without much understanding, I felt complete and purposeful. Years later, I totally understand this verse from 2 Corinthians 5:17, where Paul says, he's talking about, the old and the new. And in that particular verse, he says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ... Okay, thank you. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old is gone. The new life has begun. So I was a new person, really. And all I'll say is that this happened in my last year of primary school. I now had to go, so it happened in December 1989. And in Kenya, so that's the longer holidays in December. Then in January is the start of the new school year. So people are moving up classes. So in January, I had to go to school into a new class, and I couldn't wait to break this great news to the class. It was the same people I was with, but the novelty of the new class and everything was just a lot going on. It was a small community anyway, and some people knew, some of my classmates who lived around knew, but not everybody. So I went into class, and there were two girls that I hung around with. Why I hung around with those girls, I have no idea. There's one girl was such a bully, thinking back, and she was so naughty. But, you know, she enjoyed it as well. So I said, and she, you know, she laughed at me. I said, I've been born again, and she laughed at me, and I was thinking, this meant to be great. And then the teacher came in, and there was this buzz, and then, you know, she said, oh, yeah, Sarah got saved. And the teacher was like, that's a great thing. And then she asked me, the girl asked me, who saved you? And I hadn't thought of it, and I just said, the pastor. And she burst out laughing, and the whole class burst out laughing. And I thought, did I make a mistake? But immediately, as soon as I said the pastor, I realized, no, it wasn't the pastor, it was God. But the teacher quickly came in and intervened and brought clarity. God saved Sarah. So I'm glad it happened in that moment, my last year of primary school, because I continued to just love the Lord. I'd been very curious about, I'd been quite wanting more, which I didn't know how what more looked like all along up to this point. But when I got this and felt complete and purposeful, I was, yeah, it was the more than I wanted. But then the following year, I went into secondary school. And that's why I'm glad it happened in this point. At this point, God's timing is amazing. Because primary school was normal, you know, pretty much the usual things, you know, come and go. Kids don't really know that much. They're happy to live day by day. But when I got to secondary school, I faced quite some difficulties. And the difficulties were really around my ability to pay school fees on time. So I turned up at the school. I had the highest marks coming into first form. And I was at the school for the first, it's a boarding school. The whole of first term of first form, I stayed in school. But from that moment, from the second term of first form all the way to fourth form, which is the final year, I hardly was ever in school for more than half the time, really. If you don't pay your fees, they send you home to go and collect fees and come and pay. So I was in and out of school, in and out of schools, days on end sometimes, weeks on end sometimes. And at first, it didn't affect my grades, so I was okay, carried on. But as time went on, my grades began to be affected. So I began to get discouraged. And I got so discouraged, by the time I got to fourth form, I was so discouraged that I gave up. I just gave up. And I gave up, and I was in this state of almost slumber. Fourth form, first term, second term. Third term is the exam term. I suddenly woke up to this realization that, whoa, if I don't make it to uni, I would never achieve my dream in life. And what was that dream? It's not to be a preacher. I know some of you are thinking how pious she is. my dream was to be a doctor, and I was on course to be a doctor. There's a lot that went with it, but my dream was to be a doctor. And so I just realized I cannot realize that dream in life, and I was at a loss. This is the third term, you know, hardly any learning goes on. You know, you just have time to revise and then the exam. There's nothing I could do, even if I study. So I just woke up from this slumber. Even if I could study day and night, I just knew that I could not catch up all these years. I was only left to appeal to God. And that moment, in 1989, came to bear. I just remember the purposefulness and the completeness that I felt, and I thought that meant something. So I appealed to God, and I prayed to God, and I said, I made a bargain almost. Help me to go to uni, and I will never ever give up in life again. And so be careful what you ask of God, but it's a good thing in this case, because God helped me. I just made it to uni. You know, those days, so you have four choices. If you missed your first choice. If you had teaching anywhere in your choices, they would put you for teaching because they wanted, so to speak, intelligent people to go and be teachers. So if you missed your first choice, you got teaching. And most students, as you know, don't want to be teachers when they grow up. But no offense to teachers. But God helped me. I just made the mark to go into uni, and I was so grateful to God. So what I can say is, God is faithful. There's a verse in 1 Thessalonians 5 that's not on the list that says, he who calls you, so God will make this happen because he who calls you is faithful. That's so true. Okay, so that's by way of how I came to faith. And I walked that journey that kind of solidified my trust in God. Finished secondary school. I mean, when I would go back home, I would go back into the Anglican church. So we lived both in Nairobi with my father who was working in Nairobi. During holidays, we'd go to the village home, which is all the way to the west. Nairobi is, so it's like north and south, basically, compared to UK. And in both places, we'd attend the local Anglican church. The youth group was quite vibrant because there was a lot of us in that category. We were taught a lot. We were taught the word of God. We were taught about Jesus. We had activities going. The only thing I'd say is we didn't learn much about the Holy Spirit. Okay. And then finished school, went to uni, pretty much the same growing up in church. And then taught for 3 years in Kenya and came over to UK. I came to UK in 2003. When I came to UK, I carried on that journey of faith and I started learning more about the Holy Spirit as well. So the Anglican Church didn't teach much about it. Also, when I was in the Anglican Church, I was told, which I have no reason not to believe, that I was baptized, but it was the Anglican way. So more on that. And then coming to UK, joined the army, and being in the army, we move around every 2 years or so. So as you all know, we started off in this church. We married in this church and started our life together with Theo in this church. We lived in Chippenham as our first home together. I just not really give you the details of how Theo and I met because I think that's a story for another day. From Chippenham, we moved to Chepstow. From Chepstow, we moved to Gloucester. This is now in 2010, we moved to Gloucester. When we moved to Gloucester, at that point, we were looking for a local church. Everywhere we went, we looked for a local church to be attending. And we attended a church in Cheltenham. And I remember the message was being spoken. And after the message, there was an altar call. This time it was an altar call to come forward to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'd never heard of that. You know, I've always heard of altar calls to come and, you know, give your life to Jesus or renew your walk in the Lord if you have kind of backslid, or to be prayed for something, healing. But I'd never heard of an altar call with Jesus, I mean, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'd been, by this time, gained some understanding and had been really longing to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's almost a repeat of 1989. I shot forward. I didn't think twice about it. And I went and we were being prayed for. There was a number of us, you know, stood in a line and were being prayed for. And I could hear people being filled with the Holy Spirit to the left and to the right. I could hear because there was manifestation, there was talking in tongues, there was laughter and all that. But nothing, I didn't experience anything. And the lady who was praying for me started to ask me some questions. And I suppose she wanted to determine what's the obstacle. What is it? And I'd been telling her how I'd been longing to be filled by the Holy Spirit. And she was asking me questions and she said to me, you talk too much. So I kept quiet, and she carried on praying. And as she carried on praying, I could feel like I was being filled from inside. If you imagine, if you've got a hot water bottle, and you're feeling it, so it's a bit floppy, and as you feel it, it's straightening up, and then it becomes full. That's how I felt. I felt like I'd been sloppy. And I could just feel as if I was straightening up. And I could, you know, just all the way, and then my head flung up, and out of my mouth just came this bubble of laughter. And I knew I had been filled by the Holy, with the Holy Spirit. And I praised God. And spontaneously, just one word came out in tongues, which I was grateful for. And I had received the gift of the Holy Spirit. On this journey, and on the journey to discovering who the Holy Spirit was, one of the key scriptures was where it all started, on the day of Pentecost. And Acts 2:38 and 39, really, the response that Paul gave to the crowd in Jerusalem when they asked, "What shall we do?" So that one can come up. Acts 2. Yeah. So let me read it again. So, and it says, Peter replied, so this is to the crowd on the day of Pentecost who asked him, "What shall we do?" Peter replied, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, to your children, and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord." All who have been called by the Lord. So, just note that. You will receive the Holy Spirit, all who have been called by the Lord. And so that was another turning point in my faith. So knowing the faithfulness of God from 1989 through to when I did my national exams in fourth form, coming to this moment where the Lord had given me this gift that I'd been longing for, I continued to just grow and love the Lord and just carry on with my journey of faith. And then sometime in just before COVID, 2019, December, I was in Kenya. We were in Kenya. So 2020, we came back and we were invited to a Catholic baptism. Of course, they as Anglicans baptize children. And it was very colorful. It was family and friends. But it was very colorful. And the Catholic priest, you know, is not a high Catholic kind of. He was very dynamic kind of. And, I think 99% were Africans. And so there was a lot of energy and singing and expression. And he loved it. He was right in the middle of it. And he would talk about this and all that. And so when we went to finish the church bit and we went to have the meal, there was a lot of feasting as well. You know, this is amazing. Little kid, you know, lots of feasting. And he was there talking to us, saying so many things, you know, very jovial kind of Catholic priest. He was maybe, you know, a man in his middle age, but then, he came across like a young guy. And then in the process of talking, he said something which really captured my attention. He said, Jesus taught us how to baptize. And then we have come all this way, and we just do our own things. We baptize children. And I was like, what? You've just been doing the baptism. But that set me to think a bit more about baptism. I've always known of all the different forms, and I knew they were there, and I knew what the Bible said, but I'd never thought more than that. So I started asking God to show me, really, what is His will? Do we have the freedom to just give it variations, or what is His will? And God taught me. He taught me what baptism meant, and with it he also told me to have peace. He will let me know when the right time will be for me to be baptized. So I suppose now I'm at the point where I'm saying how my work has brought me to this point of being baptized. And, you know, I continued to learn more about, you know, why there's all these different baptisms and what is baptism. And I came to my understanding. And so when the time came, I had to also think to myself, well, first of all, I asked God, should I be baptized again? And he said, it was clear that you weren't baptized, so you're being baptized, not again. So I had peace with that, because in the Anglican Church, we'd always been told you can't be baptized twice. So I had peace with that side of things. Anyway, I had to sort of come to that point where I have to be very clear why I'm being baptized. And I came up with three sort of things that could summarize it. I just wanted to maybe not do it because the denomination that I'm going to does it, which is kind of what I had gone by previously. So I wanted to make it personal. And I read Matthew 4, so don't put that one on, the next one you'll put on. Matthew chapter 4. And it's about Jesus being baptized. Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it. I am the one who needs to be baptized by you, he said. So why are you coming to me? But Jesus said, it should be done, so we must carry out all that God requires. So John agreed to baptize him. So I realized that to be baptized is an act of obedience. I'm obeying God. God requires it. I do it. And that's where my faith has led me to all the way from 1989. God requires it. I do it. And also, Jesus told us to do so. So you can put the next one up, please. Matthew 28:19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus told us to do it, so I'll do it. So I'm being obedient in being baptized. Also, for me, baptism is like a burial. It's a separation from the new from the old, rather. And going back to 1989, where I felt new, I didn't know much about Christianity and the rest of it, but I felt new. And so, for me, baptism is a separation from the old Sarah to the new Sarah. And every day, I feel renewed. Even this morning, I feel like a new person, really. Going through this process of, going through this reflection of my journey just makes me feel like a new person. And it's like the death of the old Sarah happened in 1989, and I'm going to be buried by God's grace next Sunday. So it's taken me a long time to get to there. And then it's for my salvation also. And with having searched the Lord as I went on my journey of faith, I have come to realize that salvation, so we were told in the Anglican Church, we say, I'm saved. And it's like, there's a line there between those who are not saved and this side, those who are saved. But it's like, it's a journey. That's what I came to understand. It's not a crossing the line, it's a journey. So my journey of faith, baptism is part of it. And reading from Mark 16:16, anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. But anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. So as I finish, how do these things link together and have brought me to this point? One, as I've said, coming to this point, baptism is part of the process. But it started with a particular moment, I believe, when I made a decision But I made that decision because I had a call. That call, that altar call that was made, I heard it in my heart. And I didn't hear it with my outer ears. It's almost like in my heart I heard it and I sprang up. And Pete, if you could just bring up that Acts 2:38-39 again. And especially verse 39, which says, "This promise is for is to you, to your children, and to those far away, all who've been called by the Lord." That altar call was really a call from the Lord. And so for me, it was a godly calling. And so you've heard part of how I came to how I started my journey of faith. But the thing I haven't said is there were so many obstacles as well. Because in that moment when I heard, the first thing was, it was intimidating. My sister, my elder sister, was sat next to me. And it was just kind of like something, a thought, you know, like an intimidation. But also I knew that I was different. And I knew the kind of kids that I was with in school. And especially this one girl who was, she was very naughty. She was a really actively naughty girl. And I knew that I had to face all that. There was one girl in class who had been a Christian for about 2 years, and she was ridiculed. I thought she was ridiculed because of other things, but mostly also for her having said she's a Christian. Now there's going to be two of us. So that played on my mind, but the call, the heart call, overruled the obstacles and the fear, and I went forward. So I had the call, a godly call. Secondly, I responded to that call. I had to take action. And so I suppose that when you hear something in your heart, that's what people call conviction. So the conviction was followed by an action. And so as I finish, I would just like to say that having had my journey of faith, and I do hope that it's really what you, it's spoken to you, and it satisfies you in a way that is personal to you. I would say that it started with a divine call and a personal action to respond to that call. The Lord has been faithful to me all this time, and as I get baptized next Sunday, I know that is another step forward, and He who calls you is faithful. Thank you very much.